heard a lot, about drinking and carousing around, I know. I have a very dear friend here. He should be up here instead of me because he's been dry a little or MAA. Well, then I have a guest, 30. Say, Alex Marconi, will you stand up? We want to say hello to you. We've been buddies for a long time, you know. We've learned a lot about it. I've traveled an awful lot in my life, and I've been in some wonderful places, beautiful auditoriums, beautiful art galleries and churches and cathedrals and some beautiful homes. I've never been any place in my life but beneficial to me and so beautiful as an AA meeting. This is where the Spirit of God is at work. Well, that's why I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I've been to a lot of meetings, and I heard a lot of people say, well, I'm a recovering alcoholic. It's none of your darn business what I am. I'll talk to you a little while. You can judge it yourself what I am. Yeah. But I hear them say they have to qualify, you know, when they leave a meeting. You don't have to qualify. You know. If you do, it's not hard. Do like your teacher tried to teach you when you were in school. You was conjugating verbs, remember? Run and ran and sit and sat, you know? You say drink, drank, and drunk, and that's all there is to it. Yeah. Well, they say they waste an awful lot of time, people do, trying to say, why did I drink? I wonder why. Well, they say it's because I'm Irish. There's an awful lot of Irish people that drink and are not alcoholics, and Swedes, and Italians have wine on the table all the time. I don't know why. Never bothered with no thought of my head why. But I made a discovery a long time after I was around this AA program. In the beginning that I thought, I'll go back a little while. Up at Old Saints, King School Group, there was a few there. And they didn't have, like they do today, a lead month or 6 months ahead of time. No. If I talk this week, I'd sit down with a crowd. Hey, Bill, come on, it's your turn to talk. Well, Dr. Bob and his wife Ann used to sit over there in the second row and left side. So, I can't get up there and talk. I never prepared. Oh. Dr. Bob said, get up and talk. You didn't prepare to get drunk, did you? Get up and talk. Go ahead. Anyhow, I'm going to say a few things about it because that's what I was taught. Dr. Bob says, my God, don't ever prod an alcoholic. No, that's bad. You want to drive him to drink. Sure they do. That's where big trouble. You know, great king I am. I know a lady, Rachel Betty M. She went real good. She was an auditor, bookkeeper, and so on. Good job. Well, salary and all. She got in AA, and she could talk all right, and so on. How about you leaving me? Yeah. Oh, boy. Every time she went to lead a meeting, she bought a new hat, one of great big kind, like a dishpan upside down, you know. Got about 18 hats, and then she went to another town, and she saw a lady with a hat just like hers. She got mad and wouldn't get drunk. Holy lady. I guess that's your cross you have to bear, yeah. I had recognized to myself and to another person, I am an alcoholic. That was in 1925, 10 years before anybody ever heard of AA. Now there's alcoholics in this meeting and in every meeting in the world, and they are going to get drunk again and again and again. They have admitted they're alcoholics to their loved ones, to their doctors, to their policemen. That is not what it says in AA. I'm an alcoholic and I want to quit. That's all right for the National Alcoholic Foundation and these other groups that are springing up all over. Problem drinkers, they want you to quit. Well, anybody that's ever really got drunk, really drunk, God, I'm glad if they quit because, boy, that's awful. get drunk. But that's not what Alcoholics Anonymous is trying to teach people. We want to teach people how to be sober. They want you to quit drinking, eh? Hey, anybody can quit drinking. It's no trick. I quit 57,402 times because I'm drunk. If you can't quit any other way, cut your damn throat. You'll quit. Yeah. Why do we do this? I know why I was doing it. I know now. After I looked at my, I know why. It wasn't because I was Irish or Swede or because my dad dropped me on the floor. No. I know why. Dad had a beautiful home. Because I want to illustrate to you a picture that's indelibly impressed upon me. And it will remain with me until I take my next drink. I had been drinking this night, and I came downstairs early in the morning to get some cold water. My pipes were a little bit hot. There in our living room with the buff-colored walls and the French windows and the drape with a rose-colored sofa up against that wall. One soft light burning behind that sofa. There was a lady dressed in white kneeling by that sofa. What are you doing down here at this hour of the morning? Well, she says, I am praying. Praying for what? You've got a house, you've got a car, you've got society, a travel, go to Europe, you've got a healthy baby boy, what do you want? I want you to quit drinking. I want you to be sober. Don't bother about me, lady. I'll quit when I get ready. Now, that's true with everyone. Your loved ones can pray for you and then plead with you that they can frighten you and then doctor and your preacher and your sponsor. So, can you get ready? And not until. 1929, I found a new bootlegger and I bought a pipe from him, and it was called Canadian Club, but it was made out of wood alcohol, and I was stricken with total blindness. And everybody said, surely to God he'll quit now. Not me. I found out you don't have to have eyesight to drink. You don't have to hear or to drink. You don't have to have legs or arms. No. Well, I lost the job. I lost the home. I lost everything, insurance and all. I lost my wife and boy. Then I was free. It was wonderful. I heard them say, I don't know why they call this, I was in what they call the can game. Now, that means some days you can get it and some days you can't. That's all I know. But while I've been in this state of existence, I've drank all the alcoholic beverages. I drank good whiskey in the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York and so on. On down, I've drank Anteaton, Bay Rum and shellac and silo juice, cactus soup, marijuana cigarettes, eight pills like peanuts. Psychiatrist said, I'm doing this to escape the reality of things. Well, mister, that's a damn lie. I am not. Because I had this alcoholic mind, and it argued, and it wins when it wants to. I had a toothache. Oh, my God, did it hurt. Ooh. So the only way for me to escape that toothache is to go get drunk. That's what he said. So I got drunk, lasted 3 days. And I got out, and I felt around for that tooth, and it was gone, and the one next to it was loose, because while I was drunk, some guy poked me in the jaw. Now, how did I escape anything? Had a lot of bad checks floating around, and oh, God, did I get nervous. Jesus, God, I'm on my way to penitentiary. Jesus, oh, well, yeah. Well, now, how can I escape that? Well, go get drunk. So I got drunk and wrote 10 more bad checks. I am doing this because I did not want to recognize the real true self deep down within. No, I didn't quit because of fear. No, I didn't quit because of the loss of a home. I didn't quit because of the loss of a job. I got lost well without a job. I got lost well without a home. No rent to pay, no clothes to buy, no nothing. Well, no. That's not what, no. Well, I watched people die, but that didn't bother me. While I was in the office where I used to work, there used to be a gentleman come from Cleveland, and he was a stock salesman. Beautiful, right here, good salesman, graduating university and so on. I got acquainted with him, and I introduced him to some of the bootleggers. We drank a little bit together, got drunk a little bit together, and so on. Alcohol got the best of him, and he went his way, and alcohol got the best of me in my way. He got in Alcoholics Anonymous in 1937. January 28, 1939, he came from Cleveland, Ohio, down to Youngstown, Ohio. He took time off from work one day. He paid his train fare down and back out of his own pocket. Down to talk to me. I was living in the basement of an apartment building with a mattress stretched out on the floor. I've been drunk off and on for 11 months. I weighed 93 pounds. They were surprised when I said, "Oh, mister, I know I'm an alcoholic. I've known it for all these years. I've used it. I used to go in the hospital in the morning and see that intern, and I'd say, 'Jesus, God, I'm sick today. I'm going to shake apart. Give me a drink, will you?' He would. I'd go into jail, you know, same one I was in 2 weeks ago or so. I'd tell the guard, 'God, I'm sick today. Give me a drink of that old foreign whiskey in that tin cup, will you?' He would. Yeah. I used it. He was surprised. He talked a little bit about his drinking because he lost his job, he lost his home and everything. He gave me the foundation of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know how many of you know how this started. You hear the 12 steps, but we had 4 absolutes before we ever had any steps. For honesty, unselfishness, purity, and love. Learn to build your life on those and you'll see how your steps will fall right in order. Honest. I don't know if you're honest. It's up to you. You admitted your powers over alcohol? I don't know. No, it's none of my business. Unselfish. Not alcoholic fashion. The alcoholic is the most liberal person in the world. God can give anybody else's money away anytime he gets his hands on it. Yeah. Yeah. Learn to understand the truth of this statement. I, of myself, am nothing. I can't do this myself. No. And we learn to be pure, and this does not mean sex. It means we learn to quit. I'll get even with that guy you watch and see. I'll get him, you watch. Cut that out. Then we learn to love. Not the kind they have down in Congress or Hollywood or what do they call them now? Gays. We used to punch them in the face. Now they call them the gays. Got an honorable name. He's good. Yeah. Yeah. Some guys are, you know, we go bumming around and we had respect. Now, in the can game, we had respect for women. Yeah, I don't know about up in the lounges. I don't know. But there was 5 of us up in what we call the jungle. We were up in Lake Erie a little bit up between Ashtabula and Kearney up in the in what we call our jungle. That's where we're living. Had a big old lard kettle, and we cooked all the stuff. We could bomb carrots, meat, and onions, and so on. And the lady came over. Hey, how about getting in? Go get your porridge. Go get your porridge. You're welcome. Our porridge was a bottle of wine. She went up the street. After a while, she bummed enough to get a bottle of wine, come down and passed around. One of the guys, he had some funny ideas. He took a drink of the wine and he started to make some passes at this woman, girl. The other guy, hey, you know. You know what the rule is down here. Don't you do anything toward that lady. Who are you, huh? So, the other guy said, I told you, you know the rule, don't you? Well, I'll do what I want to do. Well, he got up and bang! Hit him under the chin and broke his neck, and we threw him in Lake Erie to a couple of cement blocks. He's a missing person, don't. They respected women. Nowadays, they just let him go, and then the court will say, go on out and do it again. I don't know. Yeah. Well, anyhow, he talked a little bit about my drinking, not too much, about the 4 absolutes. And he got around to the one that I like real well, love. You recall by reading or listening or whatever, Bill was doctored in Dr. Silkworth's hospital and had an emotional spiritual experience. And this boy said, you can keep dry 24 hours at a time by helping your fellow man. He didn't say sober. Dry. Bill went out in the world in New York and around, some of those drinking buddies, carrying a bottle with him, trying to get them so he could talk. 6 months of that. And he was not successful. He went home to his little wife, Lois. Lois, who one day lived in one of these swell homes and now down there in a little two-room apartment. He was discouraged. She said, well, Bill, bring them into the house and let's see what we can do with them. Never before since the birth of Christ was such love expressed by a human being. There's a lady who had gone through hell. Good money, job, so on and so forth. Now she's down and and then she did another thing that we ought to remember and practice. She forgave him for all of his past. Her people said, I could have a new fur coat if you didn't drink some wine. I could have 2 new cars or something. There was somebody out in Chicago here last April 15th put his bartender on his income tax as a dependent. So, now that's love. We learn to love these people. Jack Darrow said, his name was Jack Darrow, and some of these older folks around here know he's a wonderful man. He's since passed away. Are you ready to honestly and sincerely admit you're powerless over alcohol? And I said, no. He talked a while longer. I shook a little while longer. Are you ready to honestly, sincerely admit your powerless over alcohol? And I said, talked a little while longer. And he said, are you honestly, sincerely ready to admit your powerless over alcohol? I said, yes, I am. Yeah. He said, let's pray about it. He put his arm on my shoulder and he said, God, here we are, two alcoholics. We're trying to live so that we won't be bothered with alcohol again. And we can't do it without your help. That was my introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous. He left me. No meetings to go to, no hostel. What do I want to go to a hostel for? I had the snakes in boxcars and so on. For. Well, I laid there all alone. Pulled my hair, pulled my clothes. Yeah? You bought this and paid cash for it, slapper it out. Next day, I said, geez, God, you're all alone. Yeah. Well, you've been all alone since then. I, a lot of times, haven't you? Been alone in a hotel room or in a jail cell in a boxcar, you've been alone? Yeah, but it's different. Why? Because I'm all alone, and yet I'm happy. Happy because he had given me the same thing you carry with you every time you go into another person's life. Hope. There's hope for every alcoholic, every narcotic, if he only wants to be honest and sincere with himself and admit his powerless over. He said, I had ought to believe in a power greater than I. Oh, my God, no, don't tell me that stuff. My mother prayed to Bible. Oh, no, my dad, Al Capone, and shoot two or three people, go to church, put $100 in the kitty, go out and shoot two more, huh? Nah. In jail, the Salvation Army girls would come in on Sunday and they'd sing, Jesus, lover of my soul. We'd say, that sounds swell, lady, but when the hell are you going to get us a drink? That's what we want. No. God loves me, God hates me. Oh, I don't know. As I sat there, I thought, I have a drinking problem. Yeah. I thought myself into every drunk I was ever on. I used to love to go to Ohio State and see Ohio Chick Harley play football. Then about Wednesday, I'd get a couple of quarts, and by Friday, I wouldn't know where I was going or what I was doing or who was playing or what. Same thing going to South Bend, Indiana, to see the Four Horsemen. The same thing. I thought myself into it. Now, since I have a drinking problem, I made up a God out of thought. It has answered every problem that has confronted me since I met this way of life. All I did was spell the word, G-O-D, and for each of those little letters, I put a word where I say good, orderly, direction. Now, before I talk about anybody at the coffee table in an AA meeting, I stop and get some good, orderly direction. I had no job to go to, no home, no nothing. I had a cane, a white cane. Went out into the world. I was so thankful. Every hour on the hour, I closed out every other thought in my mind. And I just said, thank you. Thank you. I was dry 8 weeks before there was a little bit of a meeting. There was four people got together, two women in a house, home. That was there. These people had homes, they had jobs, they had families, and so on. They sat around, talked a little bit about that. Oxford boom, a little about Henrietta Cyberling, T. Henry Williams, and a little bit about Dr. Bob Bill, and so on and so forth. A little bit about getting drunk, and then a little bit about prayer, and the Lord's Prayer, and the coke. Then this guy came around to me, and whose home was being held, and he said, I want to tell you something, you blind old bastard. You've got no more intention to keep him sober than the man in the moon. The only reason you're coming out there is get away with these people so get big. Now, think for you to just stay the hell away. Now, that was my introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous. And here you are. God, they knock them off a stool. Come on and go to the meeting. The meetings are not going to keep you dry. They're only a small part of it. No. Go to it to the meeting. Well, I went back to the mattress, and I laid there, and I said, by God, I'm going to get drunk, and I'm going to kill him. No, I won't. I'll get good and drunk. I'll kill his wife, then I'll kill him. No, I won't. I'll kill all those MBAs. No. Something said, no, the thing for you to do is to go there and go there regular. And don't take any material help from any of them. And by the grace of God, that's what I did. I stood on the street corner. I see them going past, all dressed up, going to work, and so on. I wouldn't ask them for nickel. Get me a slice of bread. I'd starve first, and I'd stay that way. I was dry 18 months before I got a job. Got a job by the same judge that used to put me in jail. I worked for the state of Ohio as a vocational counselor in the blind for 30 years. Had to retire 1971. I separated from my family for 12 years. And we got back together. Got a boy through school. I was totally blind 12 years, but now I have what they call, lots of models of pay, 3/200, or 1.5%, no central vision. But, see, I'm allowed to feel than you other fellows will get slapped or arrested, you see. And I, well, I went through life. I went through hell on earth, I'll tell you, I did. I went through hell on earth. But I'm going to be honest with you, I would do it again and again and again if I had to, in order to get this way of life. Thank God you don't have to. You don't have to keep on drinking and go to jail and lose your home and lose your job. No. Only a few of them. Now, Dr. Bob never went to jail. Bill Wilson never went to jail. Dr. Bob don't know what candy tastes like. No, you know. Surely about 10% of them did that. And you don't have to. It's up to you. But I remember some of the things that Dr. Bob told me existed. Keep it simple. Don't allow for that. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Bill Wilson had quite a favorite saying. Gold and silver have I none, but such that I have I give. If you don't have any gold or silver, what do you have? You have love. Dr. Bob was dry a few weeks, and he went off to a convention and got drunk. And they said, what will you do about him? His lovely wife answered, we'll go get him and try again. 70 times 7 shall we forgive. When you're sponsoring somebody, don't get it in your head that you're the only one that can help that person. I've been in all over the country and I've talked on. I don't know anyone in this world I've ever helped, and I hope to God I never learn, because I don't want to get the big head that I had when I was a kid. Best football player, the best track man, the best businessman, the best father, the best everything. Now, there is a big difference in my mind, and I've watched this program. This is a question that you have to answer yourself or nobody else. There's a big difference between being in AA and having AA in you. There's a big difference. I have had the privilege of talking to many different places, to penal institutions and so on, but I want to illustrate the AA program. I talked to high school. Up here, a little ways away from where we are in Akron, I think 60 miles or so of high school, I talked there a few times. There was an examination back there in November. Two young ladies, they were juniors, and they were in the study hall, and the one girl says, I know where that examination is. It's up on the teacher's desk. And I tell you, I could get it. And you and I could read it, and we could get a good grade. The other girl said, I don't want you to get that examination. Why? We could get good grades. I don't want you to get that examination. My parents are in AA, and they have taught us to be honest. Oh, the girl said, well, if you're that way, I won't get it. Those two girls got the highest grade in that test. Some 3 months later, talked to the principal of the school, and they put that story in their monthly paper. Half of that school is practicing honesty. You are a part of the most valuable thing in this world, more valuable than any political party, any union, any church. We're doing things that they haven't been able to do. And we're doing faith and with humility. And if you live the Alcoholics Anonymous program the way you should live it, take your medicine. The sponsor should have told you that there's medicine you must take. Consists of 3 doses. When you start your new day in the morning, we'll say, the first and most important thing for us to do is to put a good thought in our head, the prayer. Dr. Bob, you say, God, you and I together can do without a drink today. I say, God, help me to help somebody else today without anyone else knowing it. And because you have done that during the day when you are being tempted, and you will be tempted, you'll be tempted to lose your temper, swear a little bit, Maybe drink a little bit, but you'll be tempted. Just when you're tempted, you will be given the opportunity to forget yourself by helping your fellow man. This does not necessarily mean sponsorship. Maybe you're working down the shop and the guy drops his wrench. Stoop over and pick it up and hand it to him. You lose some production, yeah. What do you want, production or sobriety? Help your children with their lessons. Nah, they want to play ball. Come on, help. There's a lot of things you can do. Maybe your wife would appreciate a little bit of consideration. Oh, yeah, you do. You got some money in your pocket, and you go past the candy store, and you buy her for a couple of pounds of candy, takes it home. She appreciates it. You want to show her real love? How about you appreciate all the stuff when you put it in? If you smoke cigarettes, well, just use an example. Go without a pack of cigarettes every day for 5 days, or get $2.50 or $3, then buy the candy, then take it home. Your wife will know it's love. Maybe you ride the bus to work. Walk for 5 days and take that money. Then buy some. Alcoholics Anonymous teaches us to deprive yourself of some thought, physical effort, and even some of our own personal funds. That's what it teaches us. And if you live this way, you'll be able to go through life and people will look at you. You'll be able to look at yourself. Say, I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I would rather one would walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Kind counsel is confusing, but the example's always clear. The best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good, put into action, is what everybody needs. Alcoholics Anonymous has as a motto. People who pray together, stay together. Now, before you take your next drink, stop long enough to pray for one of your buddies. Thank you all.